Parshas Naso. So we're holding over here by the Chinuch about the Mitzvah Sotah. Mitzvah Sotah, a very strange mitzvah. And the Chinuch, it's Ramban, I'm sorry, who says, Vihine, he says, Ein b'chol mishpatei HaTorah dava tola b'nes u'losei yin azeh. There is no other mitzvah that at all has any shaykhis to nisim. Lulav and Esrik, some people feel it's a nes if you get a kasher lulav and Esrik, but most people don't feel that way, and getting a kasher lulav and Esrik is fine, no problems. It doesn't depend on having a ongoing nes. And yet, this is the only mitzvah where the Maisa mitzvah requires a nes for it to be effective. He says, Shupela v'gat nes kavua sheyasa b'Yisrael v'yosam rubim osetzor shomakom. So, counterintuitively, this nes was given to Klai Yisrael only when most people listened, were doing mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim. We would think that it's a terrible punishment because doing a lot of averus. The truth is the other way around. Ki chofetz matzitka liyasa noshon shal senek zimis yesa amim ulanakat yisol me amzirus yuroi lahasha shchunim b'seichel. This is it's a type of purification, Klal Yisrael, when the vast majority of Klal Yisrael are doing the right things and the good, and there are few people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to clear Klal Yisrael of any mamzerim, so that the Kvashar Sashchina, therefore he had the system set up. It was a lifnim mishros hadin, so to speak, in the sense that it's adei nisim, and therefore it worked only when Klal Yisrael was mostly good. And that's why this stopped when Klal Yisrael was galkal baveris. K'meshe'omu mishroba nof in posko meisaita. So when Klal Yisrael became Shakun Arayis, this whole Hanhaga stopped. What's the point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu adding a Shaloki Rech HaTeva when life is full of Arayis? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this gift to Klal Yisrael only that time, and when Klal Yisrael started doing being Menayef, Mezaneh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will no longer watch over you, I will let it go Hefka, because that's where you are. I reminded of a story. The Mashkiach in Chavim Yeshiva for 60 years maybe was Reb Meir Chodesh. It was a Sabotka, Chavna, and somebody writes a story that happened with him and Reb Meir. He was a bachur living in Yeshiva. He was doing quite well, not overstraining himself, so to speak, but okay. Reb Meir Chodesh called him down and he said, I have some sort of ha'aris about your asmada. I think that you should be learning stronger. So he said, fine. He called him back a week later and he said, there's some improvement, but it's not at all what I had in mind. He called back a week later and said, listen, if after this conversation we don't get results, then I will unfortunately have to conclude that you're not a person who's a makabel techacha, and you will never ever hear a word of techacha from me again. And that's it's a very, very interesting perspective. To threaten a bacha that you will no longer tell him off about anything, and the bacha understood it, and the person writes, that's when it hit home how far I was, and he really put himself together. But the understanding that you don't bother to you don't bother, it's like medical issues. So with somebody who's a healthy person, you pashka with small little things. Somebody who's gone, you say, oh, don't worry, it's not a problem, it's okay, because what's the point of it? You're going to bother him on some, so you're going to nickel dime him when something big is wrong. So Klal Yisrael had a schus that control was makpid on every last person with a nace when they deserve it. Vein akosev ha'oimesh etien anoshim anofos p'turus m'rav mabosh m'anofim. It says in the pasuk, I will no longer be mashgiach on your daughters of the mezaneh, because everybody's mezaneh. So it doesn't mean that they're part of an avera. Rak shelo yaseh ben ha'nes ha'gadol hazeh. They won't have this special hashgacha, this special nes. Shunasalem lekvoidam v'liyosam am kodesh. It was done only because in Am Kadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makbid. They rejected it. They themselves are full of arayas. So where did where's the, it's not a favor for them to be medactic on their wives. It means that this nation, being that he's not wise, they will be caught up in their own foolishness and so on. Then he says, "V'chzeh atama sha'amru v'niko ha'ish me'avon." The pasuk says, "Zikash me'avon b'zman sheish menuke me'avon mayim b'tnis ishtoi." Eina ish menuke me'avon eina mayim b'tnis ishtoi. The halacha is that the husband, from the time that he's mekana his wife, from the time that he says he suspects something wrong, has warned her, and they're eidin ashes m'siachet, he goes to the kohen. He's not allowed to live with her until the matter is not cleared up by the Me'a Morim. So it says that if he lived with her during that time when he's not allowed to, the Mayim will not be Bodek his wife. And the Lashon is V'niko ha'ish me'avon, he will be cleansed from sin, meaning when he's cleansed from sin, when he doesn't have anything wrong, then it shall have to be bodik her, if not. But he koyin who? Shalbola mishikin alamistra. The nikoyin is that he didn't live with her from when she became also. Yesh mefarshim, and some say, shem bol abal shumbili sur koyomov enamar kurska. If the husband at some time in his life had lived improperly with somebody, then it's not bodik her. Same idea, he says. Va'olam en alocha, shapiloi banav leisim nafim, v'loi kiyabayim, v'lohoyu baitkin. And even it says that even if his children were overbearers and he did not warn them and he wasn't careful with them, it's not bodhi. Haklal shenetz kovisol. In other words, for the person that is has perfected himself to the degree that he can perfect himself in these inyanim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ferrets out all the hidden averis. But if he himself has big stains all over, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look and ferret out all the small averis. Okay, the next one is a chinuch. Now, by the way, this is something that is reminiscent of the same halacha by Negoyim. I don't know why Ramban doesn't mention that Negoyim have the same thing. The old parish of Negoyim is also Slogidach HaTeva. My assumption is that while Negoyim are Slogidach HaTeva, but the Maisa Mitzvahs involved, with inspecting it, the Hezke, the Hechlet, those are not, you know, Slogidach HaTeva. But the Etzem Negoyim is Slogidach HaTeva, and the Rabbanovich says something similar. It's when Kal Yisrael, for the person who does the occasional Lashon Hara, when society is kind of protected from it, then it's something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us by ferreting out those instances that slip through. But if we're saturated now in Lashon Hara and it's something that is part of our lives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't go around punishing and so on. It's like all averes. All averes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish immediately. It's part of the structure of Bechira and Amunah and so on and so forth, and here all the same thing. Okay, the next one is a Rambam in Hilchis Sota. Yes, there's a chinuch here, but the chinuch is almost a word for word repetition of the Ramban. He says, same exact point, he does it every so often, that the mitzvah is a big shvach for the ummah, it's to help us get rid of the smallest averis. He quotes same psukim, he's simply restating Rabban, which he does occasionally. So next one is the Rambam Hilchos Sota. And the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Sota, as in many halachas, he gives us a little bit divrei Musa. Mitzvos chachamim al bnei Yisrael liknos lekanes l'neshehen, shenema v'kines ishtoi. It is a mitzvah, the Rabbanan, to be mekane. In other words, to be mekane, ishtoi, to warn her, is a chiyuv midrabbanan. V'chol amekane l'ishtoi nichnas aboy ruach tahara. Now, let's talk about this a little bit. There are many different secular reactions to znus. One is an animal rage that a person has been cheated on, and that comes from some sort of shorish of tov. Yes, it's a terrible abrogation of the relationship between man and wife, as to the Rivazana. There's another attitude that, I do what I want, she does what she wants, let everybody have fun and everybody have a good time, which unfortunately is kind of today's attitude. That attitude is terribly wrong. Chazal said, it's a mitzvah of mekane l'ishtoi, meaning that a person should be sensitive to the type of inyanim of kedusha in the household, and something that's even suspect, an activity that's highly suspect, should arouse in him ruach tara to say this is absolutely unacceptable. And being that the Rambam is, being that this is a very emotional parsha, there are many, many different ways of expressing it that are wrong. And the Rambam says, "V'lo yikane lo, lo mitoch schok, v'lo mitoch sicha, v'lo mitoch kalas rosh, v'lo mitoch meriva, v'lo lehatl ola eima." The Rambam is telling us that this is a very, very thorny. There's a thread of kedusha in lekane that is lost amongst many different approaches, not of kedusha. When a person tells, and I would stretch this to teichach in general. When a person tells off somebody else, when a person reprimands somebody else, the effectivity of the reprimand will be very, very much dependent on where it's coming from. If somebody comes and tells me, why are you doing X? Why aren't you coming to davening? The statement, as a dry matter of fact, is, it's a fact, and a computer would say, you claim to keep Shofarach, Shofarach says you have to come to davening, you don't come to davening, therefore something is wrong. That's sort of the way it would be sort of spread out. Now, but I walk to a person and say, how come you don't come to davening? Or I tell my child, well, how come you don't come to davening? That statement can mean so many different things depending on how I said it. If I say it jokingly, then I convey it's a big joke. It's much worse. If I tell him in a way that the tone of the voice implies it's not such a terrible avla. That's the schok and kalas rosh. Mitoch meriva means that I have a fight with somebody. I'm a loggerhead with somebody, and this is another place to stick a needle in. Big tzaddik, you're asking X of me. Look at you. You don't have a shot for davening, huh? Where's the davening? Or sometimes it's controlling. Hatul of Ema is what we would call today in modern parlance a control freak. I like it when I tell people, and I can command them, and I can reprimand them, and that's also. So what is the person's reaction? Person's reaction is, this person's a tyrant, he's a dictator, he's got his own baggage, big time, and I'm the victim. Yeah, he might be right about that, but it's not going to have the effect. The Rambam eliminates a whole slew of motives that express themselves in when you're reprimanding, and this is true across the board. Ein roi likfoitz v'lekanis v'edim tchila. You shouldn't jump to do it publicly, because again, when you're doing it, if somebody really, if you don't like somebody, somebody gets under your skin, so you love to blow up publicly. Lamos, let's take an example. Let's say somebody's talking during davening and I'm the Rav. So the act of talking during davening, first of all, he's destroying my minion. He's flaunting my authority. He's being motzi laz on me that my minion people are talking. So the easiest way and the most satisfying way to relieve that feeling is to scream in public and say, Chaim ben Yankel, you are a choyte Yisrael and a poshea. That way I've established that I've disowned you, and that I've gotten back at you. The hurt and the pain that you caused me by being a talker during davening, I've been able to sort of counter that, and I feel very good about myself. But is it effective? No, it's terribly ineffective, because the person senses it, and as long as your own agenda is mixed in, the person, adrabba, he feels that it's a farce and it's only there for your agenda. But let's say I walk over to somebody and I quietly talk to him. Let's say it would be my kid, and it bothers me. And sometimes the kid also brings up a bad reaction. But let's say I really care for it. Sit down and say, you know, I know you don't mean it, and I know that it's hard for you to sit long davening, and I know that the guy sitting next to you is really geschmack, and you don't mean to say one word to. But at the end of the day, it really creates a terrible impression. It's really something we need to work on. Let's stop with this and that and so on. That's the way in which the person at least can feel that, you know, he's really doing out of care, he really does like me, and, you know, and he wants me to change. Should be done quietly, it should be done menschlich, and it should be done in a way that conveys a certain element of tara, of kedusha. In other words, he doesn't have another agenda to it. I once heard from somebody, it says that the Gemara says in Shabbos that a person is supposed to say Isartem, Iraftem, Hadliku Esaner, you know, Erev Shabbos HaChashecha. The person, this like we talked about us. We were supposed to have a Shas here, but here it is, okay. Yes, we actually have a Shas, and we're going to have to pour it inside. I want to say from somebody, it's a very, very nice part. It says that a person is supposed to say three things Erev Shabbos, Im Chashecha, and the Gemara says on it, let me just get the exact Madi Omer, so that way we have an accurate quote. Okay. Gimel Dvorim Tzorchon Lomay Spesei of Shabbos and Chashecha Satan HaFikas HaNeos Lamed Dalet and Shabbos. The Gemara says Omer Abba Barav Huna Avgal Lomay Abba Nashleish Dvorim Tzorchon Lomay Ma. Even though Chachamim said you have to say three things, Tzorch Lomay Rinu Bini Chusa, you have to say it softly. Keherat Kablinam, that's the only way people are mekabel from you. Omer Ravashi said, Anola Shmila Harava Rafuna, Vikiyamti Misvara, I was Mekayimit Misvara, Ravashi said. So I once heard from somebody, from Reb Shimshon Broska's Chayin of Racha, he said, what is he adding? Is he adding, I mean, like he's proud of himself, Ravashi says, oh, I don't need Rava Huna, I thought of this myself. So he said, no. He said, sometimes you have somebody who's a real didactic b'mitzvah, walks over to somebody, he's walking over to his wife, he's plotting, it's late, and she hasn't really done that lunch there, said this, and he's about to yell, but there's a halacha. So he says, you know, Isata hadlikus aner, I'm saying it benichusa because that's the din. You can convey that sense, you know, and the person is gritting his teeth because there's also halacha to do it benichusa. He says, you have to say benichusa misvara, that it's not because it's a kiyam halacha, but because that's what you feel about it. I I would like to extend this because it's nagia so much. It's nagia for chinuch of children. It's nagia for people around you. It's nagia for a wife and a husband. Let people do the following exercise themselves. Imagine that. Pick some area that you do. For some of the listeners, it might be very difficult, but like a really, really fine. Remember the time when somebody is sitting next to you who's a good friend or is a person that you're beholden to, like by Kriyas HaTorah said, hey, did you see this guy over there? And who's that? Whatever it is, and you answered. I'm sure it's happened to everybody at some point. Something you missed the Shacharis or Mincha, you forgot to daven, somebody got late and you realized you didn't daven, or whatever. Imagine you're just standing in shul, and publicly the Rav reprimands you, or your Shishiva yells at you. How would you feel about it? Be honest, just imagine, put it on the picture. How willing would you be to change, or you would say bedafka? And then imagine he comes over and says, you know, I like the way you daven, I know that you're a serious guy. Sometimes the guy sitting next to you says that. It would be a good thing that if you can, you know, if you can make like a serious couple on that, it would make it, and you felt the person would like. It's somebody that you really have a good relationship with you like. I assure you the to'elos would be infinitely greater when you feel that the person is a mensch, is treating you like a mensch, and so on and so forth. I want to add a little secret. I want to share a secret. I've yet to meet a poishe Yisrael who thinks he's a poishe Yisrael. Most people, no matter how bad they act or what they do, think of themselves as basically decent people with a weakness. I have a temper that sometimes I can't control, which the other person would describe as a monster that's impossible to live with. It's two versions, and he's not lying consciously. People see themselves in a certain way. If the idea is to be effective instead of venting, then you have to speak from the vantage point of the person who you're trying to affect. If the person senses you think of him as a monster, then he's not going to listen. He's not going to listen because by listening to you, he's admitting that he's a monster. So he doesn't want that hodas baldin. He senses your hatred and replies in kind, and so on. If tochacha is effective, if you really want to help the person, improve the person, you have to go with the person instead of against the person. Sometimes there's an inyan where you gave up on the person and you want the whole kehillah, bodu mitachayit ha'razayis. Fine, that's a very different mahalach. But if you really feel, then that's the way people do it. When people will bring raya's from all sorts of sfarim and mices and things like that, in Europe, once upon a time, that was the language. The language was tough, strong, harsh, so people took it in a certain way. And it also wasn't great, but there was a reason why we lost so many people. If a person says it really from the person and really lito alto, then it works. Then the Rambam says, v'chol sheyde makpel ishtar bar v'vesei. If a person doesn't care, doesn't place any concern about bottom line based and so on, he's also chayte. In other words, knowing that things are, understanding where your children are and so on, it's very, very important to distinguish between the care and concern or the way in which you implement it. Let's take the two extremes. One extreme is, well, kids do their own things, and that's their own things, and that's America, and they're doing their own things, and parents don't have a right to mix in, and blah, blah, blah. That stuff is wrong. But if a kid feels he's living in a concentration camp, if a kid feels his father is constantly looking over his shoulder, constantly talking, giving good advice, it is highly ineffective. And worse, it brings out big reactions. The kid grows up with one thing. A, he wants to get out of the house as quickly as possible. He wants to hide things from his parents. And he doesn't want, whatever it is that's trying to sell him, he doesn't want. The right approach is person knows, understands. A person can teach. A person can discuss his values, can explain what he likes. In general, a divrei musar should not be should not be given when something's wrong. There's a time, whether it's at a Shabbos table, or it's to discuss a mitzvah, discuss its inyan, discuss why it's important. If it's not relevant to the kid now, or the kid doesn't realize it's relevant to him, or the kid doesn't think the father knows what's going on, it's much more effective. If we speak about Kedusha and Kavod Adam and Dveikus Hashem, these things, depending obviously on the age, on the mentality and so on, those things have a very strong, and a person can occasionally say something, but those are precious bullets. It's like in the old days when they had very little antibiotic to go around, and they had to retrieve it from the body again and again. You know, they had to process it from the waste product again and again. You ask yourself five times, should I be giving antibiotics here? If it can work without it, it should work without it. A reprimand is proportionate to the inverse square of the amount of times that you use it. An occasional reprimand in a nice tone of voice is highly effective. The good kid who feels his father is in good standing, who is given an occasional comment, is very, very likely to follow through on it. Somebody that the father's a nag and is always this is not good, the other thing's not good. Yes, it's true they're all not good, but if you use out your penicillin for a toenail infection, when you need it for something serious, it's not there anymore. It's not what you think is important. It's how it's miskabel to the shomea. So a person has a chiyuv to think about his wife and his children and how they're misnayig and so on, but they need to have in mind what is the effect way of approaching it. So you always need to be on top of it and react in a way that is effective. One more piece here. This is Rabbeinu Bechaya. It says that they put the water in a kli cheres. Vim taskel heitiv says masham kli cheres. Why kli cheres? Timtza. Sheyesh bei remes leitiske lakumim abitchias hameisim. Achtia kli cheres hanish b'ashen otakana. The Torah gave in itself. The Torah, the world has in itself in Yanim, since that the world comes from the Torah, in the Yanim of the world we find all sorts of reflections of deeper truth and inner truths. Kalim were made of a few different things. One of them is cheres. Cheres was a common way to make it, the cheapest, the easiest way. Cheres has in itself a property that it is never mendable. If you break a kli cheres, it's gone. If a kli cheres is bolea, it's gone. A kli cheres is something that has no tikkun. That's what kli cheres is. Kli zchuchus is much more expensive, but it's a bar tikkun. So he says, a woman who's mezane is like a kli cheres. So tiske lokum yom tchias hameisim. Tchias hameisim is the tikkun for all the broken vessels in the world. She won't be zocha. Achtia kecheres anish b'shoyin takana. Im zinso te ovid me'olam azeh v'olam haba. Sheha mezane tachzbayla ke'oived shtei v'shuyas. There's a certain element, Rabbi Mechaya says, that identifies Avodah Zarah with Znus in the sense the lack of loyalty, the lack of faithfulness. The shorish of Avodah Hashem is a faithfulness of Avodah Hashem, and going away, straying away is called Surah, it's called Znus. The same thing over here also. Valkein amak the kli cheres damak kli zchuchis, and that's why it says it's a kli cheres and not a kli zchuchis. Shchuchis, you heat it up and then you blow, and that brings it back to life again. And that's why mesim are kalachem from shchuchis. There's a fascinating, I think it's Chaim Volozhin, Kesser Rosh. He says a remes. It was Ungenumen. There was a meaning in Klal Yisrael that you don't break a shit up. I see them, it's still very, very strong, not to break a shidduch. And some chassidim, it's very extreme, but that's their hanhagas, that if they feel they want to break the shidduch, they'll marry off the pair and divorce them rather than break the shidduch. Sounds crazy to us, but there's a minhag in Kol Yisrael that marriage, divorce is a parasha in the Torah. So if there's a parasha in the Torah fit, the Torah gave it to you, whereas breaking a shidduch, there's no parasha in the Torah for that, and therefore they don't do it. So the Kesef Rosh, I believe, brings a remez that he says the minhag Yisrael is to break a kli cheres at the tnoyim and a kli schuchis at the chuppah. In other words, at the tnoyim there is no takana for it. On a chuppah there is a takana. So al kapanim, the inyan of kli cheres as opposed to chuchis, is chuchis has a takana b'neficha, and if you hear the neficha, the same neficha as the shema shenefachta, the vata nefachta bi. וזה עושה את מה שדושה, או ממישה, או ממישה אחר. כלומר, או ממישה שהיא בן זוגה בנשמה ובגוף, או ממישה אחר שהויסה ממנו, שתקורת נפשה מחיבור המלטים אחד מהם. In other words, she enters Omen twice, that, meaning she accepts on herself, that both husbands, that she loses both men in her life. She's completely cut off from both of them, and it means she is, you know, the strongest chibur, which is ish nisha, it's broken lenetzach. There's no takana for this breach. Okay, we should be zeicher to have tikkun b'neficha and the meisim also lichus kavchay mitzchuches and so on. We'll finish something good.
All right.
Yeah.